We start the hour with a conversation about a new art exhibit on display in Lincoln Park. It's at the newly renovated Wrightwood 659 Gallery, and it's called About Face, Stonewall, Revolt, and New Queer Art. It's running till August. The exhibit is huge, 4 floors, and it's a stunning collection of art from some of the biggest names in contemporary art, LGBTQ culture. For instance, there's never-before-seen photography from Harvey Milk in this exhibit. It's put together by one of the leading voices in the gay community, Jonathan David Katz, an archivist, an art historian. He founded the Harvey Milk Institute in San Francisco. He's also the first ever tenured professor for gay and lesbian studies and a prolific author with way too many books to name. Katz is no stranger to Chicago. He went to Northwestern, also helped in the fight to get the human rights ordinance on the books in the 80s. Pete and I took a trip to the gallery to get a tour of the new exhibit with Jonathan David Katz himself. I'm with curator Jonathan David Katz. We are talking about the new exhibit, which is at 659 Wrightwood, About Face. This is, as you just mentioned to me, the largest queer exhibit of all time. I mean, it's the biggest of all time.
Exactly right.
Why so big? Why make this the biggest in Chicago at this juncture in 2019?
Well, first thing, we have the entire building, which is itself, I think, one of the great works of art now in Chicago. Ondo designed this building. It is remarkable in its combination of both intimacy and grandeur, and it's extraordinarily beautiful. We have 4 floors. You know, I had one of those rare invitations where the foundation was willing to support the development of a massive show and to give it to the people of Chicago for 2 months, and I could not be happier.
It is tremendous, and you look at this building, it is really spectacular, everything about it. It's kind of a nondescript building in the middle of Lincoln Park on Wrightwood, but when you walk in, it is just astounding. Let's talk about the exhibit, and
sure.
You're going to show us a couple pieces here. This is really, you know, this is about the 50-year anniversary of Stonewall, which a lot of people will say is the beginning of the gay and lesbian movement in this country and worldwide, but there's a pushback in your artistic statement for this, as you curate this, that may not be the case.
Indeed. In fact, one of the things that I really want to emphasize is that from the get-go, the queer movement has been about the erasure of barriers or boundaries, not their erection, right? That this has been an attempt at a political movement that both understood the connections among all oppressed peoples, but also wanted to eliminate sexuality as a meaningful barrier. In fact, even a meaningful factor in understanding people as different.
That's so interesting, because you would think, just as the way that the mass media or mainstream media has attached to the Stonewall riots and everything that came from this anniversary, it's about almost stepping out and leading with sexuality. But to hear that, to say, no, this is really about oppressed people getting away from being almost categorized by their sexuality.
Absolutely. And, you know, the early movement built alliances with the Black Panthers and other liberationist organizations. And importantly, you know, as far back as 1971, radical lesbians, one of the lesbian separatist communities, said that a lesbian is the rage of all women condensed to the point of explosion. Now, that's remarkable as a definition, because it suggests that it has nothing to do with, like, liking women. It's a political stance that is potentially available to all women.
You, of course, as being the curator of this exhibit, you've dedicated your career, your academic career and your artistic career to this work. It's astounding to me, because as you look at even the subtitles of this exhibit, it is about transition, it's about hybrid. These words that are used that really move us from what we know now to what will be next.
Exactly. And in fact, the exhibition is organized around the word trans. So the first section is called transgress, because of course inevitably to talk about queerness at this in the 50s and 60s was to transgress. Mm-hmm. And then it becomes transfigure, then upstairs it becomes transpose, and then transform, and then on the final floor just below the skylight it becomes transcend.
That's obviously by design, but to talk about how important that word trans is and
absolutely
for the movement.
And you know, when people hear the word trans, they often think of transgender, and
right,
that of course is included in this, but what we wanted to make the point very clear, that this is about trans in all senses, that it becomes the overarching metaphor for the queer movement, about getting rid of binary categories that are stable and, frankly, that implicate one another and never change. And we wanted to emphasize the degree to which, right, this is a movement that seeks to challenge that idea of bifurcation.
Do you have to, you know, exhibits like this and the work that you do, you really are trying to educate the mass population about this. Do you feel like in 2019, 50 years after Stonewall, that people are getting the fact that this is necessary? This isn't necessarily about sexuality, that this is about oppressed people and about equality?
I think that's more in evidence. I mean, it's of course always a self-selecting population that comes to exhibitions like this. It's one thing to educate a museum audience, it's another thing to educate a general population. You know, Trump is not going to get this, and I don't expect him to. But I think we are at a significant cultural turning point, and we're beginning to make room for the understanding that all oppressed peoples hang or fall together. And boy, we see that happening all over the place
today. I was going to say, I mean, with this being the anniversary of Stonewall, to see how some of the issues that are important and dire to the queer community are being tossed about in politics today, whether it's Republican, Democrat, Washington, or Chicago, anywhere.
Right.
What does that mean to see those things? Because it almost feels like politics likes to drum it down to the simplification of whatever issue. But it does seem to me that more often than not, every third day, fourth day, there's some issue that involves the queer community.
Absolutely.
That is front and center in this administration.
Absolutely. And this administration has realized from early on that the way to toss raw meat to their base is to toss the bodies of those who are not empowered, whether they be immigrants or queers or women. And this kind of negative politics has immediate short-term political benefits for them, but long-term damage for our country.
The word queer is also a word that has meant different things at different times.
Absolutely.
I was just having this conversation not too long ago on the show about that word. It used to be considered a slur.
Right.
And now it's being accepted. Talk about the transition
Sure.
or the history of that word.
Well, because in many respects, the reason we use the word queer is to mark a distinction from gay and lesbian. Gay and lesbian seems to be part of a binary definition in which gay is distinguished from straight. Queer instead represents a kind of transitional space that allows for fluidity between queer and straight, a fluidity that a lot of people experience in their lives, but mm-hmm. we never talk about, that is evident in everything from prisons and single-sex institutions like, you know, boys and girls schools to daily life. But also, and importantly, what queer wants to do is articulate a worldview in which sexuality is not actually an important distinction among people.
To talk about this on the anniversary of Stonewall, how do we get there? How do we get past the politics, the social, everything about getting to the space where nobody cares about anybody else's sexuality?
Right. I mean, it's going to be, I think, unfortunately, it's going to take a long time. We still have cynical politicians who are more than happy to use the disempowered for political gain. But a new generation is in the offing. They're in my classrooms. And they don't define themselves in terms of sexuality. I mean, it's quite astounding to me. One of my own relatives mentioned a boyfriend, and I said to him, "A boyfriend?" And he said, "Yeah." And I said, "You're gay?" And he said, "No, I'm queer, and, you know, I was dating a woman, now I'm dating a boy. Why does that matter? I didn't think it would matter to you." And I was like, "Oh, God, yeah, sorry, yeah, of course." And I thought, man, those 17-year-olds are way more sophisticated than I give them credit for.
Jonathan David Katz is, I guess we're actually in the exhibit, his exhibit About Face, which is at 659 Wrightwood, a tremendous space. Let's talk about some of the art, because you've amassed probably the most extensive collection of contemporary art that focuses on the issue of identity and queerness. So let's talk about some of
Sure.
this art. You picked a couple pieces.
Yeah, so this is a remarkable piece that takes aim specifically at the U.S.'s involvement in the Iraq War. And on the right side of the picture, there are analogs for a kind of digital revolution And that digital revolution, of course, creates the technology that allows, for example, drones and other forms of impersonal killing. And so you see a figure, and next to the figure, it's avatar. But there's a glitch in that avatar, the kind of computer glitch that you would see where one arm is not connected to the body. But notably, on the other side of the arm, there's real blood dripping, because that technological mechanics can produce death.
And this is a painting. You have a lot of different kinds of art in here, but this is a painting. Who
this does is this a painting?
Painting
by an extraordinary artist, almost unseen in the United States, named Tillard Richard Lukacs, who is from Vancouver, Canada. And Lukacs is one of the greatest painters alive today, one of the three or four greatest painters.
Where are you finding all of this art? I mean, because obviously you're going to have the big names, like you just said, some of the greatest painters, and I know Nick Cave and others are here in this exhibit. But for you as a curator, where are you finding such a massive amount of art?
What I really wanted to do was to shine a light on artists that are not shown in the United States. This is intended to, in some sense, wake up our art world to, you know, it's a fully international show, so it's very much about who's great in other countries, because we don't pay attention. We're very myopic in the United States. And it's also very much about trying to give attention to artists who don't have a market, because unfortunately what drives the museum is not necessarily the quality of work, but what the market determines their value to be.
Absolutely, and that's a big issue, and that's one that's been talked about in the documentaries in the last year or so. But also, you know, when you talk about queer art and you talk about the artists and the contemporary art world, some of the biggest names in art have had queer sensibilities or queer identities.
Absolutely.
Is it considered, I mean, obviously the art speaks for itself, and a lot of times there will be themes in that art that are about their own identity and their own sexuality and how, but has the art world accepted the fact that there is such a tremendous amount of activity around the queer artists, meaning that they produce at such a tremendous level?
Well, and I think it's in part because the art world was one of the few refuges for queer work to be done in a way that was culturally acceptable. But what was interesting, and often remains the case, is that you could make queer art, but you couldn't talk about queer
art. Right.
So everybody could see what was going on, but you couldn't address it.
Why was that? I mean, just the prejudices of the world?
And specifically the prejudices of institutions, which are generally funded by, at least in the United States, by wealthy individuals who are politically conservative. So those individuals don't want a gay politic to be associated with their gift. But nonetheless, the work that they support is extremely queer.
It's important, though, as these artists, and we'll see some more here, but it's important because people know that art and the ideas attached to the art, they push us forward. They make
Absolutely.
Us think about things that we haven't thought about before. So if you think about the history of contemporary art and the queer identity and the queer art that's attached to that, they have played a huge role, some of those artists, in bringing queer culture to the mainstream.
Absolutely. And I begin quite deliberately with this opposition, because here we have a queer artist who's addressing the Iraq War and the injustice of mechanized killing. And next to it is a painting that shows his actual boyfriend, Germaine, who's in Sing Sing in prison in upstate New York for having sold less than an ounce of marijuana, getting over a decade in prison, right? In part because he's black. So what we have is an artist who is alive to social injustice that on the surface has nothing to do with sexuality, right? It has to do with the ways in which the disempowered are continuously screwed.
Right.
But this is what queerness means to him.
I want to see the photography. You mentioned the photography.
Yes.
So let's walk over there, and then we can, and while we're walking, you can talk and tell me about what we're about to see.
Sure. So one of the real joys of doing an exhibition like this is that you can show stuff that no one's ever seen, literally never been shown. And so I'm going to show two artists. One is one of the leading figures in the history of queer culture, the founding martyr in some sense, the first queer saint, Harvey Milk.
Right.
Harvey owned a camera store. These are Harvey's photographs.
Wow.
And they are astoundingly good.
And these are the first time that people can see
these have never been shown publicly before. I found them in the archive. They date from 1952 to 1956.
And Jonathan, we can do a whole hour on your career. I mean, being at the Harvey Milk Institute, your work, your doctorate work, and all the different things that you've done, even in Chicago, as a part of making the human rights ordinance come to pass here. It's amazing to be able to see this and show Chicago. How does it feel to have this in front of you, to be able to see all this stuff that you've been working on for such a long time be presented in such a way?
I mean, for me, this entire exhibition is very emotional. It's emotional to be able to present an exhibition that is filled with what I think are great artists that have not been given their due. But it's also emotional because there are so many deeply felt things that go through my head, from mourning to celebration, loss, intimacy, eros, all of it. The full palette of complexity of human emotions is in evidence in the exhibition, and people are going to go through all of that.
To be here, to be the curator of this exhibition, and to celebrate 50 years since since Stonewall, and celebrate may not be the right word, but it's celebrate the anniversary.
Sure.
As you look forward and you see where we're at, and to take a point in history and say it's been 50 years since Stonewall, what do you expect in the next 50?
I hope. I'd like to expect, but that's a little bit too optimistic for me. So I'll say I hope that what we're increasingly going to understand is that sexuality is like liking broccoli. Some people do, some people don't. It doesn't really change any other quality of your human character. It has nothing to do with ethics. It has nothing to do with morals. It's a simple question of taste. And indeed, we could probably throw vast sums of money to figure out why some people like broccoli and some people don't, but we don't investigate that because nobody gives a damn whether we like. I want sexuality to be the same thing.
Jonathan David Katz is the curator of the tremendous exhibition that's at 659 Wrightwood right now. It's called About Face. I can't thank you enough for giving us a quick tour of it, and good luck. It's here until July 20th, and thanks for joining us in Extension 720.